Leon Fleischer was born in 1928 in San Francisco and was first introduced to the piano at the age of four. Although he was soon recognized as a prodigy, he says his first sense of the true depths of music came when his parents gave him a recording of Brahms' Piano Concerto No. 1 in D minor.
It is absolutely hair-raising how Brahms shakes his fist at the heavens and this imperious music that rides over this timpani, you know, which is thundering in the background. It's stormy music. It's unbelievable.
When Fleischer was nine, he became a protege of the legendary piano virtuoso and composer Arthur Schnabel. Schnabel traced his own pianistic lineage through his teachers back to Beethoven. Fleischer recalls that Schnabel's classes were filled with inspiring and memorable moments. For example, he remembers Schnabel's coaching him about Beethoven's complex Piano Sonata No. 30, Opus 109. It's a gorgeous work, full of pastoral harmonies. But suddenly, in the third movement, the key changes and a sort of poignant nothingness intervenes.
It's just an empty octave, D's that are repeated. D, bom, 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 Schnabel said at that moment, it has to feel like a deathly stare. That's only remained with me for about 70 years.
Those 70 years have brought tragedy as well as glory. After a New York Philharmonic Orchestra debut in 1944 at the age of 16, Fleischer went on to a dazzling career on the world stage. In 1966, Fleischer was at the height of his powers. He was world famous and busy on a project to record every major work for piano and orchestra for the great conductor George Zell. Suddenly, he began to notice a creeping numbness in two fingers of his right hand. Soon, the problem, called focal dystonia, worsened until Fleischer was forced to retire from performance. It was an epic crisis.
Yeah, I suffered abnormally. I was a clean-shaven young youth, and I grew a beard and a ponytail, and I took off on a putt-putting Vespa scooter because I didn't have the guts to go roaring around Baltimore on a BMW or a Harley-Davidson.
But Fleischer wasn't idle during the decades that followed. He became a master of the works written for the left hand, as we hear, for example, in his recording of the French composer Charles Camille Saint-Saëns. Fleischer also became world-renowned as a teacher. Indeed, he has mentored many of today's great pianists. He says a teacher's purpose is not merely to transmit technical advice. Rather, it is to teach how to learn so that a student can make his or her own wise aesthetic choices. Fleischer also became a distinguished conductor. It's a role he contrasts with the solitary work of playing the piano.
When you work with an orchestra, you're working, you know, basically with 75 to 100 people who are very possibly as advanced on their instrument as you were on yours. And they have sometimes a rather skeptical approach. And if you can talk an orchestra into, first of all, understanding what your vision of the music is, if you can persuade them to join you on the quest of realization of this vision, and they come along willingly and make every effort to realize this vision, that becomes a state of ecstasy. That becomes a kind of joy shared that is beyond words.
During this time, Fleischer never stopped his desperate search for a cure for his hand, both from traditional doctors and from others with more dubious credentials. Finally, in the late 1990s, a combination of Botox injections and a radical massage therapy called Rolfing offered some relief. His 2004 comeback album, Two Hands, was a triumph, as was his 2006 CD, The Journey, from which this Chopin Berceuse is excerpted.
Chopin is a very good composer.
Prodigy, concert pianist, master teacher, conductor, all these lives are recounted in Fleischer's just-published memoir, My Nine Lives, which he co-wrote with Ann Midget. Now 82, Fleischer hopes that his hand will continue to improve. Whatever happens, he says, he is still awed by the mysteries of music.
You can't see music as it passes through the air. You can't grasp it and hold on to it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. But it has a most powerful effect on most people. And that's a wondrous thing to contemplate.
Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.